How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Pharrell on the bench, coast to coast in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seat, a burger, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad, utter bad, take bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Pharrell of Palatial, right across the room through the woods from where Granny's got bad vision right now, so she has to snap tubes of the killer queen Indica in New York City, the Big Apple. People dressed in plastic bags, directed driving, some kind of fashion show, get up, she do, but all my finna come around, flutter, party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, where the best is tattered, tattered, my brain splattered all over Manhattan, she do be shake it, ooh, it's only rock and roll, but a lucky, lucky kick, yes I do, but a lucky, hey, what's gigging, I'm Pharrell, along with your boy Carver High this afternoon. Mavia running it with Hayden Fry at LTN in Kansas City Mode, a birthday roll call on a Where Do You Hurt midweek Wednesday. Donovan Spida Mitchell now with the Cavs, 26. Devin Smeltzer, 27. Sandy Alcantara, 27. Kevin Love, 34. Wade Davis, 37. Mark Pryor, 42. Mateen Cleaves, 48. Antonio McDice, 48. Jason Isringhausen, 50. The big 5-0 going to the back nine. Brianna Scurry, 51. Darren Bragg, 53. Burt Jones, legend, 71. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, yeah. Tiafoe's up in the tiebreak in the first set against Rublev. We got afternoon day ball going on. Atlanta and the A's at the Astros, Detroit and the Angels, White Sox and Mariners and the Giants, Dodgers and Chavez Ravine. We'll get into all of that. The Dodgers beat the Giants last night 6-3. Joey Ernest and Julio Gallo with a shot. The Mariners beat the White Sox 3-0. Cal Raleigh with a two-run shot. Braves beat the A's 10-9 in a wild one in 10 innings at the Astros. Angels beat the Tigers in a walk-off. Scherzer goes on the IL. Pirates beat the Mets 8-2. They're getting their ass beat today, though, in the first game of two in Pittsburgh. O'Neill Cruz with a cruise missile last night into the Allegheny over there by the Monongahela and the Ohio in the Three Rivers. Down there and that with them in Pittsburgh. And Jens can go with me downtown to go to the south side to drink beers before the Stiller game. Anyway, Rockies beat the Brewers in 10 innings. Grichuk with a walk-off homer. Scoop Mish on the show today. So is Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News, per usual. Phillies beat the Marlins 3-2. Segura with a walk-off hit. Orioles beat the Jays 9-6. They almost got in a brawl in that one. Rays beat the Red Sox 8-4. How about the Red Sox experimenting with having batting practice in the morning, like a morning skate or a morning shoot around? Padres beat the D-backs 6-5. Alfaro with the walk-off. Cubs beat the Reds 9-3. Cards over the Nats 4-1. Hit that one in game last night at minus a buck 20 when they were down 1-0. Cleveland beat the Royals 4-1. Rangers over the Astros 4-3. I lost money on that Astros game last night. Drag. Rizzo on the IL. Randy Levine of the Yankees says they're going to be massively competitive when it comes to the Judge contract. In other words, we're going to spend more money than every team in baseball to make sure we don't lose him. That's what that means in Portuguese. We'll break down all of tonight's games in baseball. And we got the lion's share coming up. Carver High getting dipped into it last night with that plus 600 on the Bichette homer. He had it all going. He was dancing naked in his front yard at 1 in the morning. Jalen Ramsey refuses to pump up the Bills. We got the Bills and the Rams tomorrow night. It's so high in the NFL pain day season opener. The Bills are the preseason Super Bowl favorites for the first time since 91. We'll break down the game tomorrow night in Lipstick City. We welcome all of our radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 159. Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline USA, Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in San Diego near Tijuana. Do you wanna? The Bills give Dawson Knox a four-year extension. He'll be top five paid tight ends in that club in the league. Joe Flacco will start for the Jets Sunday against his old team, the Ravens. Robert Salah says Wilson will probably be out till week four. Belichick and the Pats went down to South Florida early to get acclimated. Mike McDaniel's thoughts on the Pats spending the week in Florida. We got that for you. We'll break down that game. Tyler Lockett says Seahawks fans should give Russell a cheer when he's there Monday night. We'll see how that goes. Hackett knows it's a big game for Russ returning to Seattle. We'll break that game down. Kevin O'Connell and the Vikes-Packs rivalry. We got him. Daniel Jones on the show today. Jacoby Brissett on the show today. Art Smith on the show today. Josh McDaniels on the show today. C.J. Jackson not expected to play Sunday against the Raiders. He's not ready yet after that ankle surgery. We'll do today in Carver High history as well. Plus, week one lines in the NFL, AFC win totals, NFC, same thing. Chase Young reportedly re-aggravated his knee injury. There are conflicting reports now out of D.C. The Washington Post says none of that is true, that he was at Von Miller's pass rush camp and got hurt. There's people saying that didn't happen. Joe Burrow, ready to go against the Steelers after his Ferrellidectomy. NFL executives believe Kenny Pickett will win the Offensive Rookie of the Year. Yeah, standing on the sideline, huh? Okay. The Steelers restructure T.J. Watt's contract to create space. Same thing with Shaq Mason and the Bucks. We're going to get into odds for the college football national title. We'll talk about all the college football news you can handle. We got UFC stuff going on, including Nate Diaz and Chimaev Saturday. That's going to be violence. Till and Duplessis will fight in Vegas in December as well. We got Blue Line George Kurtz joining us to give his thoughts on baseball and the NFL games this week and who he likes in those games. So we'll get your boy George Kurtz on. Like I said, DeCourcy's also on. And we're raging early with Scoop Mish on baseball. A lot of day ball. We'll break it all down. Grab a freshie. It doesn't matter. It's Wednesday. This is Coast to Coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So Carver High, I went to the dry cleaner this morning to get some of my shirts, and a lady said it'll be $12. I said, do you know if you have the BetMGM app, you can bet $10 on any baseball game and win $200 if either team hits a home run? She said, what? I said, yeah, get the BetMGM app. $10, $200 is yours if either team hits a home run. That's all you get to bet is $10. Use the bonus code MLBHR2022. She said, that's $12. I said, no, ma'am, it's $10 you have to bet. And she said, it's $12 for your shirts. And then before I left, I saw her downloading the app on her phone, so I think I got through to her.
That's pretty good. I mean, it sounds like a good deal both ways. I mean, you gave her the BetMGM app. You got your shirts for $12, which in today's day and age, pretty sweet deal over at the dry cleaner. So everybody wins, it sounds like, as we start a Wednesday here on Coast to Coast. Lots to do, Scotty. In fact, lots of afternoon baseball games, including a bunch that are going to be starting within the hour here on Coast to Coast at the top of the hour, too. Let's start, Scotty, in Oakland. Let's get some people some picks here from you for these afternoon games. Oakland hosts the Braves again this afternoon. They played a wild 10-9 game last night at the Ashtray. Spencer Strider for the Braves. Waldichuk, the kid, goes for Oakland. Right now, Scotty, heavy lumber for Atlanta, -300, +240 for the A's, 7.5 the total.
Well, obviously, I can't get off Strider and the Braves here. They're too hot. They've caught the Mets. They're playing the A's. I don't care who's pitching for Oakland. It doesn't matter, does it? Like, it is what it is. You got to look for other value here, like laying a 1.5. The money line's a waste of time. It's too much to bet, so... I'm just looking for other ways to get around it, but I'm on the Braves. I went 10-4 yesterday with the plays we gave you, but a lot of those are heavy favorites. It's just no one's going to lay that much lumber.
Yeah, I see in the Braves right now, Scotty, run line on BetMGM, -2.5 at +100 for the Braves. this afternoon at the Ashtray against the Athletics. The Tigers are in Anaheim against the Angels. Hutchinson goes for them. Sandoval goes for Anaheim. Anaheim, who's actually been pretty good, Scotty. Angels minus 225, Tigers plus $1.80. 9 the total in that one.
Yeah, I'm still on the Angels here. I was on them last night. I hit on them the day before I hit. So I'm not betting on the Tigers at all. That number is pretty high. I'm going to go under.
Do like the under 9. Sandoval has been very good, like I mentioned, especially the last 6 or 8 weeks for Anaheim. White Sox and the Mariners again in Seattle. The rubber match. You have Luis Castillo going against Michael Kopech in that one. Mariners minus 200, White Sox plus $1.70, total of 7 for this one.
Well, I'm on Seattle, and I think Castillo is going to beat Kopech. And not only that, a big price to pay. So I'm like looking for value at laying a run and a half with Castillo on the mound, and they'll win this series in the Northwest today. So I laid that run and a half today.
I will tell you how they won in a matter of moments here on Coast to Coast last night. And finally, the other afternoon game yet to start out in Los Angeles, the Giants and the Dodgers. Alex Cobb and Clayton Kershaw gets the ball. More heavy lumber. A lot of lumber in the afternoon here. Build the house. Minus 250 for L.A., plus 200 for San Francisco. Total of 8 this afternoon at Chavez Ravine.
Yeah, it's just too much, right? And obviously Kershaw is better, but Alex Cobb hasn't been that bad for the Giants. And I'll tell you what, I took the Giants with a run and a half at even money against the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers win the game. I think it's a better game than anybody thinks, and I'm willing to take a stab on that run line with the Giants.
Let's tell you how the Dodgers won last night, Scotty. Late in the night, they beat the Giants 6-3. Look at this guy. I mean, honestly, Joey Gallo going yard for the Dodgers last night on Sportsnet LA.
I hate him.
2-1, nobody out. 3-1 to Gallo. Yeah. Is hammered right center field. There goes Joey Gallo. It's hot out, and there's no storm brewing. This is heat lightning.
I mean, this guy, he never got a hit with the Yankees, and he's been out in L.A. with his beard growing and hitting home runs every other day. It's just unbelievable. By the way, those prices that you talked about, the Braves minus 320, the Angels minus 235, the Dodgers minus 250, the Mariners minus 205, like, nobody wants to go in that neighborhood. Nobody wants to go there, and I'm not doing it. So I'm looking for other ways to make money. And then they give you like these big teases, like the White Sox at plus 170 on the money line. Like everybody just thinks they're going to make that money before they realize, like today, the Pirates, right? Getting a run and a half, or the Pirates plus 220 or something against the Mets. You knew they were going to get their ass beat with Bassett on the mound. I didn't touch that game. I'm looking for value and plays that make sense that aren't going to cost me an arm and a leg when I go to the window.
You're going to get the Pirates for even more than that later, Scotty, in game two. We'll discuss later with Jacob DeGrom going for the Mets. We're talking like minus 4 bills for the Mets tonight when they take on the Pirates in game two at PNC. Mariners did win last night against the White Sox 3-0. Cal Raleigh becoming a regular on Coast to Coast on Root Sports.
On its way!
There you go. This team continues to amaze me. Let's see if, you know, that's great. He got it done last night. I care about right now, today, if Castillo can handle the White Sox and win that game by 2 runs. I don't care about anything else. Win the game by 2 runs. They won last night 3-0. I need that kind of game again today. Castillo, they got him with all that money, that big trade. They got to get this guy producing at a high level, in my opinion, every time he goes out the rest of the way through October.
Got to lock it down, that's for sure. We do have a final in Pittsburgh. Mets beat the Pirates 5-1 in that first game, Scotty. So the Mets, who had been scuffling, get off the deck. Bad news for them before the game, although they say not that big of a deal. Max Scherzer goes on the IL, but he says, hey, I'm going to be fine. Just going to miss a start. Here's Scherzer.
Max, you still feel pretty good that it'll be a short stint here?
Yeah, this is a days, not weeks. So that's the first and foremost thing. This is not a significant injury. This is more of a,
how do you get those
that
two
I'm going to miss one
eyes?
Start. We knew that. And then once the ball's out of my court, then, you know, the team's got to do what they got to do for roster moves. Because of the irritation on the side here, I'm not going to be able to make the start. They needed to get another arm up here, and so that's why I'm going to the
Sounds
aisle.
More important
How does
than
it feel
on?
Right now?
Honestly, it just feels achy. That's the way I describe this, is that just my left side feels achy. It's not a strain. Like, I don't have like one specific spot that you can point to where like that hurts. Like, no, it's just general fatigue on the whole left side.
That just doesn't sound good to me. And I don't, you know, what is the difference? Like, he's on the IL. That's it. You're on the IL. I don't care what it is, like days, weeks, you're on the IL. You're not playing.
You're missing time. That's what matters.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scoop Mitch joins us. Craig Mitch, of course, from Fantasy Sports Today and the great Newswire on Grid TV. We always have Craig on to break down Major League Baseball for us on C2C. Scoop, good to see you. I want to start with the Braves catching the Mets and that wild game last night at the Astray in Oakland that they got away with. And they just keep winning and playing good. Strider's going to go tonight. The Mets already beat the Pirates today in a beatdown at PNC in the first of two in Pittsburgh today. The Basset Hound got it done. But the big story, of course, is Scherzer going on the IL. How do you see things playing out here in these last few weeks?
I'll tell you, Scott, it's fascinating because, and Scherzer, by the way, is supposed to start in Miami Friday night, and the Marlins obviously have lost 8 in a row. That would have been a pretty good start for him there. But that's the thing. It's so interesting to take a look at these odds on the Mets to win the NL East, and they're still a favorite with how well the Braves have played. And I got to believe, Scott, the reason why is because the Mets schedule is such cake over the last 25 games. It just things work out that way. You can't really predict them, but they get the Marlins a bunch and they get the Pirates a bunch and the Braves have a tougher schedule. So it feels like to me the only way the Braves can win the division is if they win the next series head to head against the Mets. That has to happen in order for them to win, because down the stretch, Scott, you're just going to see the Mets mauling teams. And I don't know that Scherzer is much of a factor. Now, Marte, we have to keep an eye on that one. That's a big injury if they lose him for more than a week or so.
Yeah, he's out now as well. And you see in the Bronx that the Yankees have guys dropping like flies. Rizzo went on the IL. LeMahieu's injured. Stanton was fouling balls off his ankles the other day, and he just got back from being out a month and a half. They have all kinds of problems, and they're down today in the first of two with the Twins at the Boogie Down. It's 2-0 as Herman got lit up for a home run in the first inning. And so the team that they always beat is beating them today. What do you think of their injury problems in the Bronx?
I mean, no more than any other team in baseball. It's just, you know, their offense just kind of showed who they were. And they had such a phenomenal first half that's going to carry them into the postseason. And Scott, they certainly could win in the first round of the postseason too, whenever, assuming they win the division and then they, you know, have some time off and then they get to play a wild card. I mean, they definitely could win. It's just that, you know, any odds for them to win the World Series are already, you're going to have to pay a Yankees tax on those regardless. And I just don't see them. And I didn't see them, as I've been coming on with you for months. I did not see them having enough offense to carry them all the way to the World Series. It would be a very dangerous series for the Yankees to play the Rays in a seven-gamer. I don't know if the Yankees would come out on top, because that's the kind of game the Rays play. The Rays want to beat you 3-1. So it's going to be an interesting offseason, I think, for New York. I think we're probably writing them off a little too early, and I think that's fair. But Houston, to me, is just a superior team.
Did you see that game on Sunday when Andy Diaz was up and they had runners on second, the Rays against the Yankees, and that umpire called that a strike because he wanted to go home and get his barbecue going early? That was the worst called three strike I've seen in a month. It was so terrible. In a game with runners on second and third, if they would have swept that series, they would have been three back on Labor Day.
Yeah, my understanding is there's been a lot of discussion recently about rule changes for next year. I think you're going to start to see some information on that come out in the coming weeks, Scott, as far as what Major League Baseball is choosing to do. And I think that in the winter, when they have the winter meetings, those will become more finalized. And obviously, umpiring is a very big hot topic of conversation. I don't see anything changing for 2023, but I think anything is on the table for 24. They've tried the robot umps in the minor leagues. It was very rocky last year, to say the least, at the beginning. The games were just taking hours and hours, and they couldn't, you know, the strike zone couldn't get figured out, but they're tinkering with it now. They'll have the pitch clock in play next year, and I think that we're not going to be arguing about balls and strikes probably within the next 2 years. Would be a guess.
So you think they're going to have robot umps with what, box? Just the same box that we see on television will now dictate a strike and a ball?
I think you still may have an umpire behind home plate, but like they're using the pitch comm, I think the umpire will be told via message if it's a ball or a strike.
Based what?
On, I don't know if it's necessarily the box, but I think that's how it's going to happen. I don't think going to lose the element home plate umpire, but I think he's simply going to be told a ball or a strike.
I mean, what is that? You have got to be kidding me. That is crazy. But I got to tell you, if they get it right, I'm not opposed to it, because I have to be honest. I watch these games and some of these strikes they call outside a foot off the plate and they call them strikes. Are these guys drunk? I mean, what are they doing? It's like, I've never seen it so bad. You can't even argue with that. It's every game there's managers screaming at the home plate ump because they're so awful.
I think, honestly, I understand how it feels, Scott. You're like me. You're an old school guy with baseball. We never thought we'd come around to the idea of putting a runner on second base in the 10th. And now it feels like it's the right thing to do. Like, who wants to see 15 inning games? I love that idea. It feels weird to know that the umpire behind home plate could get a signal as to whether or not it's a ball or a strike. And it feels like we're like so against it. And I have a feeling we're going to like it. It'll be very commonplace. Not, I don't think next year. I think 2024.
How do you think Castillo is going to do against the White Sox today? These are big games, obviously, more so for the White Sox, because they're two back in that Central. They're not getting a wild card. They can't afford to lose to this guy. How tough of a day is that for them to face him up in Seattle?
I'll tell you, the White Sox are that team that just won't go away. Like, I feel like I'm coming on here one week, I'm saying they're done, and then the next week I'm saying they're back. Right. I don't know which way to go on them. And La Russa's gone, and they're done, and now Cairo's managing, and they're back again. I can't figure this team out. I guess once every 5 days they win every time because they have Dylan Cease, and now all of a sudden Lance Lynn looks better. And it's like, yeah, this is the team that the White Sox were supposed to be at the beginning of the season. But formidable opponent. Seattle's playing great baseball. So do I expect the White Sox to win against Castillo? Probably not. But again, predicting White Sox games this season, I can't imagine it's been a profitable season betting on or against them this year. They've been totally random.
So, you know, we were talking earlier on the show today about the prices of these games at night. Like, are you kidding me? Like, Braves -320, Angels -235, Dodgers -250, Mariners -205. Tonight the Mets -385. Mm-hmm. Who in their right mind is going to make those bets to win $100?
Win 100? I mean, to lay 385 to win 100, you're like out of your mind. Yeah, there's no way. So, I mean, look, we've come to the end of the season. You could get cute and try and parlay a couple of these things. Look, once every 4 or 5 days, there's a chance that a plus 250 or a plus 300 is going to come in. And I don't talk about betting with the Marlins, obviously, because I cover them and all of that. But if you played that game, hypothetically speaking, with the Marlins, Scott, the last 8 days, you lost your ass. Like, I mean, they've lost 8 games in a row, man, like at plus 300 and plus 250. We talked about this a month ago. In September, you have the middling teams that are still going to fight. You have the really good teams that are still going to fight. The teams at the bottom right now are headed to lottery system in Major League Baseball right now, Scott. The last pick. The team that finishes last in Major League Baseball this year does not automatically get the first round pick. They tried to make it so there's more incentive not to lose, but I would tell you that the closer you get to the bottom, the better percentage you have is to pull a ping pong ball out and have the number one pick in the draft. So I think that I'm not saying anyone's tanking, but you have these teams that are just like looking at players for next year and the results are there.
When you look at what Toronto's done on the road, 11 of 13 on the road, they finally lost to the Orioles last night. And you see what Tampa's doing. We talked about them. They're both going to the postseason. Which one's more dangerous to you?
Probably Tampa Bay. They've been there before. They have the experience. They play a lot of close games. They just keep bringing these dudes, lefties and righties, out of the pen that you've never heard of, pumping 95 and throwing these sliders that are just like untouchable. Tampa Bay is always the formidable foe. The only thing that Toronto has maybe that Tampa Bay does not is something that Toronto really hasn't had for the most part this season is Bo Bichette getting hot. Like he hit 3 home runs the other day, Scott. I mean, is it possible that this last month and in October, Bo Bichette is going to be, people picked him to win the American League MVP at the beginning of the season. And of course that hasn't been the case. They've gotten good performances from the pitching and the hitting and the bullpen's been fine. Bo Bichette is like an equalizer, like getting a Wander Franco back. So I'm curious to see if he can carry them, because that's really what it's all about. No one's going to remember his April, May, and June if Bichette gets now.
Yeah, and Franco re-aggravated a little bit that injury trying to do something the other day. But how about your boy Carver High last night, winning 6 bills on Bichette's home run? He was up all night. The neighbors saw him out in the front yard at 1 in the morning. There was some beer cans and some nudity. I mean, you win 600 on a Bichette, ring the bell. I mean, the lion's share was roaring last night on Strong Island, Craig. You know what happens when Carver High starts cracking Bud Lights and winning 6 bills.
Oh, my gosh. That means more money lost. Well, actually, Notre Dame did cover, I guess we can say that, last week against Ohio State. They looked terrible, but plus 11 they did
cover.
He
made money there, too.
Yeah, I guess so. But, hey, can we just talk about one piece of football before we leave baseball here for a minute?
Real quick.
Can we do
that?
Can we talk about Anthony Richardson and the University of Florida, the Gators?
Oh, God. He was unbelievable. Clinton,
the Gators jumping over Notre Dame. Scott, in all the years you've been watching college, I'm sure that we've known this before. Has a team been unranked and moved up to 12 in a 3-point win?
No. And it's all because of Richardson. He was a badass in that game of the slot. All right, Craig.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, it's time for our weekly chat with the great Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News. Mike, I want to start with your article that you wrote about the college football playoff system going to 12 teams. Could be 24, it could be 26, but, shoulda, coulda, woulda, it's going to happen. I thought your article was interesting from the standpoint of, and I want you to break it down so fans can understand it, but you're right, it's going to become like homerized milk toast. All the teams that are going to be in it are going to basically have home games in the bowl games that they're going to play in. Can you explain it for everybody?
Well, the way they're going to do it, first of all, the first round seeds 5 through 12, the teams that are not the highest rated conference champions. So teams 5 through 12 will play at home sites. Great idea. Home crowds. Last year, Georgia would have been the 5 seed. Okay, so you put them at home. And, between the hedges, great. That would have been a wonderful game, a wonderful atmosphere, et cetera. But what happens then after that first round is that they start using bowl sites, traditional bowl sites, presumably cotton, orange, Fiesta, sugar, etc. And what that does is for teams that are really accomplished but are not in the southern part of the country, to a lesser extent the western part of the country, they are disadvantaged. I mean, if you're Ohio State or Michigan and you come up with a great team, or Oregon or Washington, you come up with a great team, hey, good luck. You have to play on the road. Maybe you have to play LSU at the Sugar Bowl, or you have to play Georgia at the Peach Bowl, something like that. It's this investment in the bowl system that college football, an addiction they just can't shake. Bowl system has been good for the bowls for more than a century. We've been fed the line that they're good for college football, but no, they're good for the bowls. I mean, you could stage an entire championship playoff at home sites, get huge crowds, great enthusiasm, and then maybe have a neutral site championship or have neutral site semis and championship. But if you're Alabama, let's say, and you're the number one seed, in this system, you don't get a home game, whereas if you're the number five seed or the number six seed in that first round, you do. I'm glad they're going to 12. I'm glad even more so that they're having automatic qualifiers, because now you have a real championship. You don't have a group of people picking out the teams they like and putting them in a thing and calling it a playoff. But the idea that certain teams in certain parts of the country have this enormous advantage, it's not real. I mean, that's not just. If it happens coincidentally, as it's happened several times in the NCAA tournament, hey, you know, you got to play the game somewhere. But when it's designed that way, that's just not right.
Yeah, I mean, it's really the haves and have-nots. I mean, but essentially, it's going to be that way anyway, isn't it? Aren't they going to pare it down and the cream will rise inevitably at the end anyway? I mean, if you're a 12, or if you're one of these six teams that's, you know, got in and the other ones get automatic berths, and you're one of the other good teams in the country that somehow gets in, you've got a massive problem on your hands from the jump with an uphill climb and on a muddy slope, don't you?
Well, I think, Scott, I think one of the things that we'll see in time, if you think back to when they changed the NCAA men's basketball tournament from you had to be a conference champion or an independent or you couldn't get in. Number two, obviously Maryland and NC State in 74, when they played an overtime classic and Maryland just went home and NC State got to be in the show. Since we changed from that to this open 68 team tournament or 64 for many years, we've seen the tournament completely change. In the old system, UCLA had won 10 out of 12. Then they opened up the tournament and more schools, more teams, more players thought, hey, you know what? I can go to Pitt if I'm from Pittsburgh, and or I can go to Ohio State if I'm from the Ohio area. And I can feel like I have a shot. I don't have to go to UCLA to win this thing. And I think that might eventually come in the football playoff. It'll take some time, and it'll help if Nick Saban retires. But I think we'll see gradually maybe a homogenization of the talent. More people will think, I can become a pro, and I can play in this tournament from the school that closest to me or most convenient to me or that I like the best, not just Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, etc.
So what are your feelings about, it's not the first time it's been brought up, but Harbaugh was talking about they should pay the players TV money. Now they're paying them NIL money. A kid can go to Alabama and cut a multi-million dollar endorsement deal. A kid can go anywhere, and if he gets his hands on that kind of a deal, he's off and running. And then now you're talking about they want certain people want the players to get a piece of the TV pie. And I said yesterday, Mike, on this show that before long, no one will go to class. I mean, I know they say that they have to be student athletes, and I got to tell you, I think that's just an absolute joke. I don't believe for one minute these kids are going to class that know they're going pro, that know they're there to go pro. And the ones that aren't, it would behoove them to go to class, because the ones that aren't going pro are going to learn really fast what the real world's like without those multi-million dollar professional contracts you get in the NFL, et cetera, baseball, NHL, NBA. I am opposed to them just keep giving these kids money. Before long, the kids are going to make more than the coach, and the coaches are already making more money than God. And before, the more money you give them, the less they go to class is the moral of this story. I'm not going to class if you're paying me $10 million. I'm going to drink booze and get laid.
Well, you still have
I'll
to
tell you what I'm going
to do. You still have to be eligible. You do still have to be eligible. So that,
that either, Mike. I think that's crooked, too. Don't you kid yourself that there are schools taking care of those kids' grades. Don't even kid yourself.
Oh, I know that that's happened without a doubt, and so it wouldn't surprise me at all if it's happening in some way, shape, or form now. But I, for me, the issue, Scott, is where do you draw the line? You sell tickets to Division III games. My nephew played Division III for 4 years, and he's now an assistant coach at that level. You sell tickets to those games. Do those kids pros? What about high school? What about old Elizabeth Forward High School, where you know where I spent 4 years, none on the football team? They sell tickets too. So are they pros? Is the field hockey team professional? Because they sell tickets. Who is a pro at that point? Only the ones that whose programs make lots and lots of money. Well, then okay, is the team in the SEC, are they professionals? But the teams that are having to dip into student fees, not. I mean, I just don't see what the line is there. And that's why I'm hugely in favor of name, image, and likeness. I think it's been great for the athletes, and it hasn't had any adverse impact on the competition of college athletics. But I do think that that the idea that this guy is a professional and this young woman is not, and I just don't see where you draw that line.
You know, I'll tell you where I draw the line. I give them their NIL money, and you get a full ride to college. Now you're finally have the potential to make $30,000, $50,000, $100,000, $500,000, $1 million. There you go. It depends on where you are, who you are. We all understand that. You start giving them that piece of that NFL-type TV money or college football-type TV money, I think it's a dangerous line to walk. It's a tightrope. When you start going there, I think the whole thing collapses. I think college sports will be finished. You start giving them that.
I don't disagree with that.
And every kid makes $20 million to play college football. Why would you ever go to class?
You know, I'm not hugely in a disagreement with that. As I point out, there aren't any minor league sports in America that are significantly financially successful. So I don't see what, if you turn college football or college basketball into a actual minor league, not a de facto minor league. I'm not sure why those would buck the trend. Because the markets are established. I don't know. I think this circumstance that they're in now is an excellent one. That full ride is still worth a ton of money, as we've seen from the whole controversy over canceling student loans. And so we know that that's a great deal to start with. Then you add in name, image, and likeness. And remember, if you start to be true pros, if you're an employee, you know what you can do as an employee? You can get fired. A college athlete can't really get fired, but a professional college athlete could.
No doubt about that. Speaking of professional athletes, Russell Wilson is starting his new venture by going back to Seattle for a Monday Night Football showdown against the lowly Seahawks. I can't believe I'm saying that, because they kind of have hit rock bottom since he left, and they have not looked good, or there's no aspirations for them to be good this year. How do you think Russell Wilson's debut will go with the Broncos in the Pacific Northwest going home?
You know, I think Russell Wilson is a great quarterback and one of the underrated quarterbacks in NFL history. I don't think he's given enough due for his excellence. I do wonder, though, about the Broncos' decision to extend his contract when they did. 2 years left on his prior deal, which was kind of a bargain, or at least becoming a bargain in the current NFL with players like Deshaun Watson getting such enormous deals. I'm not sure that they necessarily did the right thing. Let's see how it goes, right? See if he's a star, still a star. He missed a lot of last season. He had the year before, he wasn't quite the player he'd been in the prior years. I mean, he still was terrific, but not quite that player. So I would want to see on the field whether he's still the Russ Wilson of 2013. If he is, boom, then go ahead and do exactly what you just did and give him a contract like that. I think they've taken a significant risk here. And also they're paying him as if he were 28, 29 years old, and he's not. He's going to be 35 this fall. I think that that's a real risk. Not everybody's Tom Brady. As we saw last autumn with Ben Roethlisberger, the game eventually gets you. Brady's a unique player, and he was in a unique circumstance because his offensive line and his own skill set allowed him to almost never be hit. Wilson's skill set gets him hit. He's sacked a lot, and he runs a lot with the football, so we don't know whether or not his clock is ticking faster than players like Brady.
I said the exact same thing almost verbatim last week when he got the deal. I said, they're going to get burned on this deal. This guy's not going to be great in that those last couple of years. He's already shown decline, and everybody says he hasn't. I don't agree with that.
No, I'm with you, Scott. Like I said, I think he was still really, really excellent in 2019 and 20, but not the player that was completely lighting up the NFL several years before that. Still great. And then, of course, last year struggled with injury for the first time in his career. That's one of the things that you like about him is he never missed a game prior to last year.
Right.
But I still wonder about the rush to do this. You just to have a happy Russ, I'm not sure that's the right move. You brought him in. You paid huge with the draft picks,
right?
And also a player. I think it's time for them to give it some to give it a look.
We'll see how he looks in Seattle. Mike, great stuff this week. Have a great week. What's left of it. Enjoy the games this weekend.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we bring Carver High back in here. Was there a cruise missile sighting last night near the Allegheny River in Pittsburgh?
There was a cruise missile sighting last night. Yeah, so what? The Mets beat him this afternoon. The Pirates beat him last night. And your boy O'Neal Cruz put one in the river on AT&T Sportsnet Pittsburgh.
Means the bat's staying through the zone.
And that ball is leaving the park. O'Neal Cruz lines it out of PNC Park. Another two-strike, two-run home run, and the Bucks blowing out the Mets.
Yeah, can you believe that? And then they got smacked today. How about the Rockies? They beat the Brewers last night. They're beating them again today.
They certainly are. They're up 4-0 in the third inning right now as they are taking it to the Brewers. Last night, Brewers yacked up a lead. Rockies came back and tied it. They Brewers actually took a lead in the top of the 10th, bottom of the 10th. Randall Grichuk on AT&T Sportsnet Mountain.
Here's the 3-2. Take a good look. You won't see this one for long. Walk off, three-run, home run, concourse shot for Randall Grichuk. That one comes with some exclamation points. What a comeback win for the Rockies.
Well, that was huge. Today, they're up 4-0. I know the Brewers have a couple of runners on right now, but I guess it just ended. They had two on, didn't get anything across. They had a Trejo homer, a Diaz RBI. They went up 4-0 on that Trejo homer. So they are just lighting it up again today at Coors.
They certainly are. And the Yankees, Scotty, who basically have a middle of March spring training lineup out in game one against the Twins today, aside from Judge, they're down 2-0. Peraza did get his first major league hit. A double in the left field corner. So at least that's a small part of good news for the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, that lineup they got going today is embarrassing.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.